Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location. At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey fam, it is Carla J, your host of Carla's Channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration. Thank you so much for joining. And if you please be so kind to subscribe and follow if you have not yet. And also just to let you know, I am streaming on multiple platforms in case you see my eyes looking shifty. That is the reason why. Thank you all for joining. And if you'd be so kind to put in where you are joining from, or if you are watching the replay, you can still add it on the replay too. And because we'll go back and look at those and we'll post them. We'll post the actual podcast to Spotify, Instagram, and Facebook. All right. So as the holidays are nearing, many people are finding themselves dealing with depression. And this can be for multiple reasons. And if left unaddressed, it can lead to suicide. So depression and suicide are some very sensitive topics. And over the years, there have been different interpretations and views. And in some of those views include those from the church as well. And the church also has some very interesting ideas on that. And we're going to talk about that tonight, okay? And one of the things that we want to talk about is debunking those myths. So if you are watching, and if you've heard some of these sayings, put a one in the chat. So if you ever heard a phrase that says suicide is a direct path to hell, put that in the chat, put a one in the chat. If you've heard you're not praying enough, put a one in the chat. If you've heard depression is due to a lack of faith, put a one in the chat. If you've heard prayer alone can heal depression, put a one in the chat. And so those are some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. And as we talk about those, just want to, you know, make sure that we're all coming with an open mind. This is not to berate anyone, put anyone down. This is just to raise awareness. And so when we tell people that they have a lack of faith, you know, depression is a medical condition and it's not a spiritual deficiency. And if you look back and you want us to, if you want to look in history and find people, great spiritual leaders, even in maybe in your community, other communities, depression is real. Suicide is real amongst all of those people in those walks of life. Okay. And so then also, if you've ever heard the phrase of it's a direct sin is a, suicide is a sin and is a direct path to hell. I'm not here to debate it with anybody, but what I can tell you is this. The Bible I read does not say there's one sin that's greater over the other. So to me, all sin, you have fallen short of the glory of God, and it could lead you to a path to hell. So people who are usually committing suicide are in pain emotionally, mentally. They are in pain. And I just don't believe that we serve a God like that, who's going to you know, just, oh, you did it. You know, if they're reaching out for help and they're hurting. But that's a topic for another day. We can get real deep into that. And then the other one we're talking about is prayer alone can heal depression. Now, you know, I know that on this line, people watching, we got some holy sanctified folks who can get a prayer through, right? And if it's due to a lack of faith, that just doesn't sit well, doesn't sit well with me. Things are happening and you just need additional support. And what does that support look like? You all know that I am a registered nurse, and I am also going to give that medical side too, not just the spiritual side, but the medical side too. But hang on to the end, and we're going to talk some more about that. Now, on the line with us, we do have Charlotte Anekwe. And Charlotte is a dear friend of mine, but Charlotte also has a great story to share too, one of her life journeys. And the purpose of this podcast is to help encourage others through life-changing stories, and Charlotte has one today. Charlotte is a 43-year suicide attempt survivor, and now she's an advocate for suicide awareness and depression awareness. And so, Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us.
Charlotte, thank you for having me.
Yes, tell the people a little bit about yourself, some of your hobbies, and if you have a place where they can connect with you or see you on social media.
Yes. So my name is Charlotte Anekwe, and you can find me on Facebook, Instagram as Charlotte Anekwe. I also have accounts under one of my businesses, Fabulux Fashion. That's the one that's most popular right now. My hobbies are being a mom, believe it or not. I'm actually doing this while my youngest daughter is at volleyball practice. I love music. I am an event planner. I have a passion for weddings and events. It's just a lot of different things that I've loved to do over the years that have kind of taken a backseat to mommyhood, because I am a single mom and I'm very involved with both of my daughters. So that's why I said being a mom is a hobby too, dealing with my kids. But my favorite thing was probably music right now, because I can just get lost in it when I really need to disconnect and kind of regroup and just relax. So music is always my go-to.
I love that. Any particular genre of music?
I like all music except for heavy metal and what people like to call the gangster rap. I'm not a fan of that. But everything else I can pretty much vibe to.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining. Thanks for telling us a little bit about yourself and where the people can find you. And if you don't mind, maybe we could put it in the chat of where they can find you on social media.
Sure.
Okay, so as we are getting into it, thank you all again for joining. So Charlotte, if you don't mind, can you walk us through what led you 43 years ago to contemplate suicide?
Absolutely. So 43 years ago, I was 11 years old, and I had gone through a series of traumas that left me feeling that I did not have a desire to live anymore. And the reason I felt that way was because at that age, during that time, there really was no outlet for me. And a lot of kids are in our generation where parents typically did not believe that children could be depressed. This was like in the early 80s. Parents didn't believe that children could be depressed. You know, they didn't have resources that they were willing to invest in to make sure the children were okay. And also, you know, back then, it was always a lot of, you know, just be quiet. You know, people sweeping things under the carpet when stuff would happen to kids, no matter what it was. And so after, you know, not knowing what to do, I contemplated suicide. I attempted and was not successful. And I think one of the things behind that was, out of all of the adults that were in my life at that time, only one person responded to me in a way that wasn't harsh or negative. you know, a lot of it was, you know, what do you think, how do you think your mom would feel by, you know, if something happened to you, if you died? It was always about somebody else and never about what was going on with me that made me want to do it. So the question was never asked, you know, what happened?
Go ahead. I like what you said, that because I did read that some of the myths or some of the things that people tell people are that suicide is selfish. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of what you're saying. How could you be so selfish leaving your family like that or doing that to your mom and things like that? How did that make you feel?
It made me feel defeated. And so, and I was 11 when that happened. So for like the next year, I was like really, really withdrawn, still trying to figure, you know, out life on my own. Because again, you know, not, I know that my mom loved me. I'm not, you know, trying to say anything negative about her, you know, especially since she's no longer with us. But again, just thinking back on the generation of our parents and how they responded to things, their viewpoints on a lot of things. And even then, like I said, you know, you're a kid, what do you have to be depressed about? You know, what, you know, they never asked really what was going on. It was a, because the question, what do you have to be depressed about, was not a question that they really wanted the answer to. It, you know, so that left me feeling a little defeated. And so for the next year, I was kind of withdrawn, trying to figure things out. And then eventually my mom took me to the doctor and around 12, and I was diagnosed as being manic depressive. And I never, never understood then what that meant. Okay. Never received any treatment for what was diagnosed. And so I still just had to kind of figure things out on my own. And then when I was 13, that's when I joined my home church, Christian Love. And the family that was at that church really embraced me. And I'm still very much involved. That's my family to this day. So they embraced me and, you know, really gave me a foundation of support. But the conversations around my journey until that point, you know, we never discussed that. And it wasn't honestly until maybe about 10, 15 years ago that I was even comfortable speaking publicly about the fact that I had attempted suicide when I was 11. And because of the stigmatisms that come along, you know, with that. And I'm in the church and I'm a professional, you know, I'm a professional person. I work in corporate America and people will look at me and try to figure out, well, no, not her. You know, what was wrong with you? You know, all of those things that I still wasn't prepared to talk about. So it wasn't, it took a long time for me to get comfortable.
And I thank you for sharing that because I know it's still, it's probably difficult still to this day to talk about, you know, could be. I see in the news more frequently now in the past couple of years, I would say I'm seeing more adolescents that have committed suicide.
Yes.
And honestly, I was really attributing that to more to social media, you know, saying that, you know, kids are these days are really seeking that validation or getting bullied and things like that through social media platforms. And that's the reason for the uptick. But you actually attempted when you were 11 and
there was no social media.
There was no social media during that time. And I know I have been guilty of that myself with my own children to say, what do you have? What happened to you that you were so depressed that you, you know, you're just so depressed now, you know? So can you speak to that a little bit? There was no social media then. And how are you feeling? How do you compare what you went to now with the influx of social media and the uptick in adolescent suicide or suicide attempts?
I guess the quickest way to address that is that back then, because we did not have social media, it was so much easier to hide things, to sweep things under the carpet, to really operate in the what happens in this house stays in this house type of thing, you know, where families just did not address that. Whereas social media, I agree that the uptick can be because of the cyberbullying and, you know, you have more pressure when you're looking at what appears to be better lives than the one that you're living. And it's more open and in the forefront of everybody's mind because it's so public. But I honestly believe that that is really the reason why it seems like there's the uptick. It's because you have more platforms to make it known. Whereas back then, if someone wasn't in your family or wasn't involved in your life in some shape, form, or fashion, they would never know. And to your point about with the parents, you know, we really have to be very diligent about paying attention to our kids, especially because of social media and, you know, all of the things that they are exposed to now that they may not necessarily talk about or verbalize. But you can, if you're paying attention, like really paying attention, you can notice changes in your child. And I would encourage the asking of questions, you know, because they may feel initially that they can't approach you, but if you open the door for them to start that dialogue, it could probably save their lives because they now know that you truly are an advocate for them.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's not, you know, a bashing or you're not going to demean them because of how they're feeling. Because the other thing is depression is a chemical imbalance in the brain, you know, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a specific event that's causing them to feel that way. It's just something going on in their body that needs to be addressed.
I like that because sometimes people associate it with an event. I know you had mentioned some trauma. And that could be a lot of people's reasons, right? Or situations, some trauma, things that have happened. But the chemical imbalance part, I think, is really key on what you stated, you know, and that it doesn't have to be an event. So a person who can appear to have absolutely everything, you know, why are they still sad? Why are they depressed? Why did they attempt suicide? It could be new environments or new situations as well that they're just feeling overwhelmed about and cannot handle that or need assistance. The chemical imbalance part is the part where the medication comes in, right?
Exactly.
That's where we need. It's not just a spiritual thing. You can't pray it away. And I'm just going to back up and say, I know some people may say, well, I did overcome mine through prayer. I did overcome it through increasing my faith. And this is not to say that that's not your story, because your story is your story for anyone who may have experienced that, you know. Okay. But what I do think we're saying is that it's not the only way. That's not the only way that healing can occur. And for some people, you need some multiple methods.
I agree. And like I said, I've never received any type of therapy. I never received any type of treatment when I was younger. And to this day, I mean, as an adult, I've gone to therapy, but I've still not taken any prescribed medications. It's always been my willpower and my will to continue to live that has sustained me. And that has also played into my faith. And that has helped me tremendously, but it wasn't just my faith alone. I had to do the work. Faith without works is dead. I had to do the work in order to understand what was going on with me, understand, you know, what I needed in order to be okay, what I needed to be actually healed and not just existing through what I was going through. So it's a process, and prayer and faith does play a big part of it. But that alone is not always the solution for people, because the other thing is there's a difference between experiencing a depressing moment and actually suffering from depression. The moment is triggered by an event or some expectation that you had. When you suffer from depression, you can be happy, having a wonderful day today, and then go to bed. And when you wake up in the morning, you can't get up. You can't function. You can't think. You're sad. And it's not because of an event, because what event happened while you were sleeping? You know what I mean? So it's that further supports the fact that it's not just a spirit. It's not just something, you know, that you can just pray off completely. Some people, again, not dispelling what other people have said, but from my experience and the experience of those that I know that have suffered from depression, it's a process, and it's not just a spirit. Another thing right now is seasonal depression that people have to really think about, because with shorter days, it's getting dark early. That affects your body, your mindset, where people can't really function or get out of the bed, or they're laying around in darkness, or they're sad all the time because of this seasonal impact that has happened in their bodies. It's not just something that they can control. So those are in particular the types of things that you have to pay attention to, especially this time of year, especially with the holidays coming up, especially holidays with younger people. Those are, you know, things that can lead, you know, to suicidal thoughts. People are feeling lonely. They're feeling defeated. We were talking previously about the unusual signs. Robin Williams was a comedian and actor. He has so much going on. When he committed suicide, that took a lot of people by surprise, because they never saw his signs. I'm not going to say the signs. I'm going to say they didn't see his signs, because the face of depression is different from person to person. And that's a lot of people think that, oh, you have to be so sad all the time, or, you know, you're crying all the time, or, you know, all of those stigmatisms that came with depression, you know, from the 70s and the 80s, where this person, you know, had what seemed to be a glamorous life on the outside. And he still ended up taking his own life because he was struggling. He was hurting on the inside, and he just could not get beyond where he was. And so those are the types of things that we really have to pay attention to. Everybody's signs are not the same.
I like that. They're in personalized signs, personal signs. So what may be a sign for me may not be a sign for you. And paying attention to those things. And one of the guests said, sometimes you are so deeply depressed that you can't pray.
I agree. I agree completely.
That really hit me. That really hit differently, I should say.
I agree. And you can't just pray your way through it, because you can't even formalize in your mind or in your heart what it is you're feeling. Sometimes it does not have a term for it. If you can't put words to it initially, you just know how you're feeling. And a lot of times when you're praying for specific things. But in this case, you don't know what to pray for, especially if you don't have a grasp on why you're feeling what you're feeling. So you can have, you know, God help. But if you want to really get deep into your prayer life with this particular illness, sometimes, you know, you just can't, because you can't find the words. You don't have the understanding of where you are and what you're doing. And you have to be careful with that, too.
I received that. And everybody is not God-fearing. Everybody is not, you know, into religion and things like that. So that may already be a barrier for some people. And one of the things that you stated was, I should have written it down, but it was around medication. So as a nurse, I know that some medications that you receive for depression, some of them actually can make you have thoughts of suicide. And if you listen to those commercials, it'll say, if you have more thoughts of suicide or something like that, let your provider know. So even with medication, even with prayer, the paying attention, talking, you know, doing whatever you can, therapy, not being afraid to be vulnerable. And I'm not saying tell everybody your business, but there's there's different layers to healing yourself or getting healed or, you know, feeling better, whatever that term is, whatever that looks like for you at that moment. There's different layers to that. There's not a one all in all. Medicine is not a one all in all. Prayer, religion isn't. No matter how ministers may make you feel, you know, unworthy, may make you feel, the church may make you feel that you don't have a good prayer life or that you're going to hell for even thinking those things. There's not a one all in all. It truly takes various layers and steps to, and it's an ongoing process. Would you agree? Is it a lifelong process?
It is a lifelong process. I don't have suicidal thoughts anymore. I haven't had one in many, 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 many years, but that doesn't erase the other feelings that I do have, where I get sad, I get, you know, depressed, where I have, for me, I am high functioning. So I still suffer from depression, but it's high functioning. So it's, I'm the opposite. When I'm feeling what I'm feeling, I don't retreat into silence or solitude. I'm extremely busy. I'm so busy to the point where I don't have time to think about whatever it is. I don't have time to feel, and I crash at the end of the day. Okay. So that's a sign that people have to watch for as well. When I was saying it's not the same face that people may be accustomed to seeing or what they thought depression is, because somebody looking at me and how I live my life would never think that. But I actually am high functioning, where somebody else, you know, they could have a manic disorder. They can, you know, they're like 10 to 12 different forms of depression. So that's the other key, is identifying exactly what type of depression you're suffering from, so that you can get the right treatment plan, that you can, you know, start working to become healed and whole in your day-to-day living, and you're not just existing and just going through life, you know, going through the motions, where you're actually trying to improve, you know, how you're feeling, how you're thinking, and your quality of life, so that those moments when they do start arising, or when you start noticing your own triggers, that you are able to get a handle on it before it takes you down that dark path that is oftentimes very difficult to come back from. And I have friends that, you know, also suffer from depression, and we recognize those things in each other because we've had the dialogue. We know each other well enough to know. We know how to send a text and be like, "Hey, I'm struggling today." Or, I feel the big D coming. Now, some people take that another way, but I feel the big D, because we don't want to like really speak it, because we weren't trying to get control over. So, you know, we recognize what it is, but then we also do what we need to do in order to get through those moments or that time. A support system. Absolutely.
You know, one of the things we've talked about, adolescence, we've talked about adulthood, you know, we touched on that. We touched on definitely the church. And you mentioned that your church now is a great place. Do you feel that your church family, do they have that compassion or that eye out to help others or to make others feel comfortable? Or is it that fire and brimstone, you know, type of environment?
Well, when I mentioned my church, I mentioned my home church, and that was the church that I grew up in. So the family there, like I said, they embraced me. And to this very day, they are still very, very much involved in my life. And I'm still a part of that family. And even though I'm not in that same place, I also know that God led me there, and He gave me my extended family to help me through those moments. Even though they didn't know anything about it, I was 13 when I joined the church, but it wasn't until I was 40, maybe 35 or 40, that I even shared my full story with them. So that made, you know, it made it that much better for me, because I already knew that no matter what I said at that point, that family was still going to be my family. I'm in a new church now, And so we have not had an opportunity to really delve into these types of topics just yet. But I do believe that with open dialogue and identifying those that could adequately minister on the topic, that we would be able to impact some change.
Okay. I really like that. I think it's important, especially as we go into the holidays. I see a lot of people posting, you know, on social media, you know, saying this is a very difficult time for them. They've lost different people. It's a very difficult time. And it's hard. It's hard to look at all of the celebrations and the smiles and knowing that your person is missing. And that's hard to do. And we want to be mindful of that. We want to reach out. And earlier in the chat, at the very beginning, I put some resources in there. In there about different suicide crisis lines, LGBTQ lines, trans lines, you know, things like that. I'm typing in the chat a question. If your church or if a church has been helpful or hurtful during your time of dealing with that depression, indicate that in the church. You know, helpful or hurtful, just write helpful or hurtful. You know, just put that in there. Just be kind of interesting to see that if it's been helpful or hurtful. And there's so much to decompress here in this one segment, but also another area of depression. There's so many things, like you said, you can be retiring and from your job and go through a depression. You could be retiring, and you were talking, you and I were talking earlier about retiring. You know, we're looking to retire and getting our things in order, but that can also be a life-changing event where people get depressed by that, you know, what are their next step, that next community. So that fits perfectly with what you said, what it looks like for you, what it looks like for that other person, that we're looking at our loved ones, our friends, and really tuning in and paying attention and trying to really form a community of trust and comfortability of people to talk. So, Charlotte, as we wrap up right now, I want to thank you again, and I want to encourage those on the line. I see a lot of people have said some have been helpful. And that Dora says to get help, get professional help. Absolutely. Pray first for direction on where to get professional help. I like that. I like that, Doris. Thank you for sharing that. And so that you could be intentional about what you're doing and really making a difference. If you are in a church home, if you are over a church, we encourage you to have these conversations with your ministry, with your leaders, to say, you know, hey, maybe we need to open this up. Let's be more open-minded, or let's talk about it. But to really understand that it's not just prayer. It's not a lack of a relationship. It's not a straight path to hell. Those types of things are things that keep people closed in and keep them from not talking. So with that being said, Charlotte, I'll give you the last word.
Thanks, Carla. I just wanted to also mention two other resources, at least in the Chicagoland area. So you have NAMI, which is a really great organization, and then the National Society for Suicide Prevention. Those are two great organizations within the Chicagoland area. I am connected to them. And also, I just feel like anybody that is struggling with depression, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist. My experience is real life experience. So I'm always open to talking to people and trying to help and point them to resources that I'm aware of. But to, like Ms. Dora said, if you are a spiritual person, and I'm not saying religious, because there's a difference between a religious person and a spiritual person. If you are a spiritual person, then you definitely want to pray and seek direction. And even when you're looking at resources, you have the right to find out if the person that is about to service you, if they are a spiritual person, because if you are spiritually founded on a spiritual foundation and they're not, then you may also have some disconnect there. So you want to make sure that the person that is treating you definitely understands, you know, all of, you know, your environmental, your triggers, your influences, et cetera, so that they can better help you.
I like that. I really like that. And you do have a right to be serviced by someone that you can connect with on those levels. I really like that. And Nami, I can add that to the chat. As soon as you're done, I'll add that there.
And AFSP.
Which one is it again?
AFSP, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. And there's also an organization where you can become a suicide prevention, like, ambassador. I don't know the proper name for it, the official name, but I'll add that to the chat as well. And thank you all so much for joining. Thank you for sharing your stories and being vulnerable, Charlotte, and to the audience too who participated. And we appreciate you all so much. Please reach out to those resources if you're in need of it, and please share them as well. Thank you all. Have a great night.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.